You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. So now we're going to talk about faith, hope, and love. And we're going to talk about how they all work. You know, the Bible says that faith and hope come together. For without hope, faith can't form. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we know that faith is formed because you hope for something. So without any hope, faith can't form. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, which is love. These three things, but the greatest of these is charity or love. It says, and now abideth. You know, that word abideth means to be stuck in one place. It means to be nailed down. It means to be permanent. That's what it means. It means to remain, to abide in reference to a place. So it wants to stay in one place, to sojourn or tarry or stay in one place, not to depart, to continue to be present, to be kept held continually. So faith, hope, and love are going to permanently be in one place. They're not going to move. They're not going to pass on. The Bible talks about everything else passing on, knowledge and understanding. But faith, hope, and love are going to be there forever. So after everything is transformed, the three things that are going to stay in this universe with us is faith, hope, and love. The Bible says the greatest of these three is love. So I want to basically talk about what is the love of God and how does it function and how can you use it. You know, with faith and hope, as I said before, faith can't form unless you have hope. So talking about it metaphorically in this world, you can't generate electricity unless you have something to generate it with. And that electricity is generated by diesel, by nuclear power, by hydroelectric, using water. But you need the water to generate, make the electricity. You need hope to generate faith. You need hope to generate faith. And without hope, faith can't function. Without hydroelectricity or without hydro functionality with water going through dams, you can't create electricity. But love is separate from that. The greatest of these three is love. You know, faith needs to be generated by hope, but love doesn't need to be generated by anything except the Spirit of God. So the power source that electricity uses, we can light up all of the world. But love is greater than all of this. Love is its own power source. So faith is a power source. It's a doing thing with confidence that you're going to receive something or something's going to happen. But love doesn't even operate within those parameters. Love operates when there is no hope. Love operates when there is no faith. Love has a greater capacity. It's its own power source. Now we know in the Bible it says that without faith it's impossible to please God. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But love is its own separate power source. And if you step into this power source, you operate in a greater capacity. You actually operate in the functionality that God operates. For God is love. So how do you get this love operating? Well, the Bible says that building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And that's the first step. So when you start praying in tongues, you start to receive an image in your spirit of what God wants you to do. And because of that, faith functions. And you start praying, you keep praying, and you pray until that thing happens. But the end product of all of that, once you've gone through all of that, just faith and hope, the next step forward into a greater and bigger functionality of God is love. And using that love, everything, it is greater than faith. Love is greater than the functionality of faith. And the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him. But love is greater than all of these three. The greatest is love. So if you pray in tongues, you'll step through a process of having hope form, then faith to step into that hope and do that thing, and then after everything is cleaned up, then the love of God is shed abroad or poured out massively over our heart by the Holy Spirit. And the love of God covers a multitude of sins. The love of God causes us, when we're beaten up, to stand up and to keep going forward. It's not about faith and hope. The love of God is greater, is a greater power source. It overcomes all things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it gives you all of the fruits of what love is. We know that if we go through them, which you've probably gone through them a lot of times. But you know, the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. For though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So what's it saying there? What, if you pray in tongues for 8 hours a day and have not love, then you're a sounding brass? No. No, because by praying in the Holy Spirit, the Bible said in Jude, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. By praying and building yourself up in your most holy faith, you build yourself up in your most holy faith, and you also keep yourself in the love of God, looking for his return. So praying in tongues, that's like an oxymoron. If you're going to pray in tongues, it's going to bring the love of God. So, you know, when it says, although I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I've become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. No, it's saying, even though you have that, even though you can speak in tongues, if you don't have love, it's useless. There are people who speak in tongues a little tiny bit. They speak in tongues. Although I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. There are people who speak in tongues for 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a year, right? And they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And although they speak with tongues and men of angels and have not love, they're like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. No, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he brings in love, and he is shed abroad or poured out massively over your heart by the Holy Spirit. So it's not saying if you speak in tongues for 20 hours a day, you're not going to step into the things of love, the things of God, where love dwells. No, that doesn't work that way. You can interpret it and say that way, but through experience, I can say to you, there's no way in the world that anybody can pray in tongues for an extended period of time. I mean, really, really go for it and not step into faith, hope, and then love. Some people quicker than others. Some people may take years and years. But I tell you, you're going to warfare against that which is dark inside you, and one of them's going to win. You're either going to stop speaking in tongues or you're going to continue and break through into this place where love dwells. So I operate in this place now. When the anointing comes over me, Now, love is also a fruit. Now, the Bible talks about our fruit withering on the vine. It also talks about our fruit remaining. So fruit has a season. So a tree grows, it's normal, has certain functionality in its process, and then all of a sudden it has fruit. And the fruit doesn't remain. But you know, the Bible talks about Paul, he's saying, I pray that your fruit remains, that you live in a continual, perpetual operation of fruit. So how does fruit work? Well, you know, there's joy, peace, long-suffering, love, all of these things. And they come into function when you need it. Just like a tree comes into function when you need it. When you need the fruit, there it is. It's a season. And there are seasons in your life when you need love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, right, temperance, all of these fruits. But there's a time when your fruit will remain. It stays permanent on your vine, on your tree. And you're continually walking in that. And you're walking in one of the fruits is love. You can use that love, that fruit, when it's in season. And when you start to minister, and the anointing falls on you, the fruit of love operates. And people start waffling, talking rubbish. There's long suffering and gentle and kindness. You don't jump on them, because the fruit of long suffering, gentleness and kindness come and help. And they help you minister to the person. But then there's also a time when your fruit remains and you operate permanently and you dwell within that place of perpetual peace, happiness and joy, long-suffering and love. Now this love is a power source. It has the potential to do everything. You know, there's an old saying, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross, it was love. Well, that's the nice little saying, but that's basically true. You know, love, I've experienced this love, and it is something that can drive you forward. It's something that can heal a broken heart. It's something that can envelop your life in such a way that you don't need, you need faith and hope, but those things are secondary to this power source of love. It's very hard to explain to people until they've stepped into the love of God. Some people have received the love of God in a momentary situation. It's happened in a little season and it's changed their whole life. But to be permanently or perpetually dwelling in that place of abiding love is something else. And we're all pressing towards that mark of the higher calling. We're all pressing to step into that place where love dwells, where you operate as a power source for your whole existence. You know, I've experienced it over and over and over again, this love. I've stepped into it. It isn't permanent in my life yet. And I know that if I keep pressing towards the mark of the higher calling, if I keep allowing the Holy Spirit to transform my life, I will step more and more, and the time that I spend in that presence of God, in love, in that river of life, then love dwells even longer and a greater period of time. So these are the things that we go after. We go after faith and hope and love. And I don't think you can actually step into that love in a great capacity unless you've stepped through faith and hope. Unless you've gone through those processes. I don't know anybody who's done that. I know when I lay my hands on people, the power of God comes over them. And the thing that is major to my anointing is they just fall in love with God. The thing that I have when I lay my hands on them is they have a deep, deep healing inside them, or something happens to them inside, not as much as they get healed. You know, people get healed, but this thing that happens inside is so so deep and so far-reaching, it lasts all of their life. They never forget that moment that God touched them and they fell in love with him for a moment, for a moment. So when I get to minister to people, I see that moment in them. I see them fall in love with God for a moment. And because they can't dwell in that place permanently, because they're not transformed enough, they have to come out of it. And it might take a week, a couple of days, whatever. This moment might last for a week or a couple of hours, whatever. But it's enough to encourage them, to show them, here I am. God says, here I am, come and step in and go through the process of transformation. Go through the process of picking up your cross daily and dying to yourself and coming to me to be transformed so that we can dwell in this place called love, where everything is fixed up, where it covers a multitude of sins. Because I hung on the cross because of love. Because of love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And love covers a multitude of sins. The blood of Jesus poured out on people covers all of the bad stuff that they do. All that you've done is washed away because of the love of God. God wants to reach out and love you. Like a father loves a son. Do you know, a natural man will do everything for their children, or most natural men will do everything they can for their children. How much more will your father, your heavenly father, do for you? How would he let you go astray? The only thing that stops you from being with God is your own desires, your own will. And if you can allow God to take and envelop your will, then you will continually want to be with him. You'll continually want to walk in his ways. You'll continually want to be a part of the kingdom of God. And the enemy won't take your gaze, because your eyes will be only for him and wanting to please him, because him and you are having a love relationship. That's what it's all about. Is stepping into that river of life and being enveloped in the love of God, being transformed by the love of God, the glory of God over you for a time, a season, and transforming you. I step into that glory all the time, and it transforms me. It's not faith and hope, it's the love of God. It is the greatest of the three. So I walk by faith and I walk by hope. But this love, I think, is overpowering me to the point where faith and hope are taking a secondary place. The love of God is far more deeper and far-reaching than faith and hope. Now, a lot of people, all they live for is faith and hope. Oh, it's all about faith. But they don't know about the love of God. And I encourage you to press towards God and break through into this place where the love of God dwells. It's in that river of life. For in that river of life, through worship, the love of God comes and transforms you. And that love is so far reaching that it will cause you to do whatever it takes to stay with the Lord. It is its own power source. And it is the thing that created everything. God is love, and his son went to the cross because of love. All of this happened because of love, not because of faith and hope, but because of love. That's how powerful love is. Very hard to explain to somebody how love functions. But I do know, and I believe 100% it is its own separate power source. So we talk about dunamis power, right? We talk about abilities. We talk about fighting against the enemy, all of these things. You know, we stand against the enemy with hope in the hope of salvation. That means the helmet of salvation. So we believe that we're going to be saved. We stay in hope. Because of hope, we operate in faith. But there's this thing that's far greater than faith and hope. It's called love. The love of God. There's a natural love. And you know the natural love that you see men do for other men? You know, you see the love of mankind for each other. When you see how that on TV and movies, mankind promotes this power source called the love for each other in mankind. And they do marvelous things for each other. They let things go. They forgive things. They cut people slack. They lay down their lives. But that's just a natural love. That's a natural love. And that is a love that God created, but it is a natural love operated through natural men. But there's a far greater love. It's a heavenly love. It's a love that comes from God and has a far greater capacity than natural love. So we'll leave it there and we'll come back and visit this and try to unpack it and explain to you a little bit more. Again, I'll just explain to you. Electricity is generated by coal or by diesel or by nuclear energy, and then you have electricity. And faith is generated by hope. No hope, you don't get any faith. But love comes from God. And it is its own power source. It's a separate unit within itself. It does not need anything to function outside of itself. And if you can step into this power source, man, oh man, God's love will transform you into the image of his son Jesus. And whatever you touch will be motivated by God's love. And God will give you an open door to operate in when you step into that place. The parameters will be taken away. Because the Bible talks about the love of God, talks about the law of the Spirit of life. That is the love of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will make you free from the law of sin and death. The parameters of whether you should do this and do that will be taken away. Jesus had a direction and he operated in love. You know, we could go into that even more deeper, but Jesus went to the cross because of love. Jesus went to the cross because he loved the Father so much. He did it willingly because he loved us. Because God loved us. He wanted to save mankind by laying his life down so that he could please the Father. He had no greater joy than to do what the Father wanted, to see the Father happy. And when you fall into the love of God, all you'll want to do is please the Father. All you want to do is see him happy. You won't want to grieve him in any way. You won't want to be rebellious towards him. You know, when love operates, rebellion flees. When love operates, control flees. It runs. Because if you go through 1 Corinthians, it talks to you about love. You know, it talks about, though I bestow my goods to the poor and have not love, or my body is burned. You know, self-sacrifice is no good. Self-sacrifice is useless. Love is what sustains everything. Charity, it says that love suffers long, is kind. It doesn't envy. It's not unseemly. It's not easily provoked. It doesn't think evil. Love thinks good of everybody. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It holds up or bears all things, under all weight, under all temper. It bears it up. It believes all things. hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But where there be prophecy, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, that shall fail, that's going to pass away. They shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When you step into this love, the love of God, the true authentic operation of the love of God, your humanity gets folded up and put away like you were a child, and now you've moved into an adult. You're growing up. You've grown up into the love of God, and now you function in the love of God. And this power source is everything that you need. It's all that you need. It's fully contained in every way. So if you listen to this over and over again and try and unpack all of this stuff I've told you, meditate on it, ask God. He wants to pour his love out on you. He wants to show you what it's like to be a true son of the living God. He wants to bring you into himself, and he wants to love you like a father loves a son. He wants to protect you. He wants to show you the kingdom of God. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not wanting to hold anything back. Now, Satan told Eve in the garden, he's trying to hold stuff back on you. This is Satan's work when he says that God is trying to hold back on you. When he says, you know, that when you eat of this fruit, you'll become as gods and your eyes will be opened. The only way you're going to have your eyes truly opened is not by stealing from God or being rebellious from God, but eating from the tree of life that is in the midst of the garden paradise. All you've got to do is step into that river through worship. That will bring you into the love of God. That will help you transform. Because in that river is the love of God flowing out, supplying all of your needs for all of your existence. This power source steps into the spiritual realm in such a way that everything that you have in this realm here can be transformed or dictated by the spiritual realm, be controlled by the spiritual realm. It is a higher power source, the spiritual realm, and it operates through love. The natural realm operates through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Flesh and blood are not going to enter into the kingdom of God. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Only a spiritual realm. So step into that spiritual realm through worship, through praying in the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit transform you so that you can enter into the presence of God with clean hands and a clean heart. And you can experience the love of God that is waiting there for you as a power source to operate in this world so that you can transform or help transform other people's lives. You can touch them deeply through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through words, but through the demonstration of the kingdom of God by this power source called love. So we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help Donna and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.